And so everyone who came to this episode to watch us talk about the collision in Korea, we had unfortunately had to shelve that episode due to things that happened in real life shortly after we recorded. There are certain people we don't want to talk about when it comes to this because it might overshadow a more important conversation that's happening. I've considered editing that stuff out. I've considered just posting a disclaimer at the beginning of it. Neither of those are great options because it would still be, if I were to cut it out, it does a disservice to Antonio Inoki's performance. Because we can't talk about his performance without talking about who he was wrestling with. And if I were just to keep it in, even with the disclaimer, it'd feel gross to kind of talk about it without having any of the additional context we have now.
Yeah, there's that, ooh, this did not age well feel to all of it now, that just even with the, even with declaring like, hey, we didn't know, it doesn't feel great.
Yeah, so. It's...
Yeah.
So it might, parts of it might come out. We might do an edited version further in the future, but just at this time, that one is just not going to come out. And I apologize for that, but I hope everyone enjoys the Halloween episode in its place. Hello, welcome to Lore of the Ring, where I describe wrestling lore to my co-host. I'm Dan.
I'm Daphne.
And today is our special Halloween episode.
I'm very excited.
So, we're both fans of horror, although I think we have different focuses on what type of horror we enjoy. Would you say that's accurate?
I would say so. Yes, definitely.
So, this is technically exploring another one of your blind spots. Because we're going to talk about some wrestler gimmicks based off of some very notable slasher characters.
And it's been well established that I don't know, other than Chucky, I don't know slasher characters.
In that one Leatherface video essay you watched.
Yes, yeah, no, I know that.
So, we're going to enjoy this on, like, a sliding scale of copyright infringement.
That is maybe my favorite phrase you've said in this show in a while.
Yeah, so we're gonna start at, like... You know, not copyright infringement, or at least, like, you know, it's based off of it. And then we're going to move over to, oh, they could have been sued. So, the first wrestler we're going to discuss is Chainsaw Charlie.
Okay.
Very clearly, just by the name... it takes after the Leatherface aesthetic. So the person portraying Chainsaw Charlie was another hardcore wrestler named Terry Funk, who has a long history of wrestling with Mick Foley in a lot of those deathmatch gifs that have Mick Foley in it. The one he's against is Terry Funk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so... he was well known in the U.S. too. He was in, like, had big stints in almost every company. So WWE he had, like, a presence in, but this was, like, there was, like, a good amount of time of, like, a gap. Because he was in other companies at that time, before leaving and then jumping to WWE to do this. So, to use a, kind of like an idea of what WWE did to introduce this character. You know how J.J. Abrams, the beast that haunts every large media franchise?
God.
His way of writing is the idea of a mystery box. His way of hooking the viewers isn't the story itself, but it's this mystery that's set up. And the story, and kind of like the story is the the lead up to the reveal.
Yeah, yeah.
So WWE did a literal mystery box in that there was a big wooden box on the stage for weeks and no one knew what it was.
In the ring?
No, just like at the ramp when they were coming out, there was just a box.
Oh, okay.
It was just there.
I was envisioning, like, it's in the corner of the ring and you have to wrestle around it and be careful not to knock it over like an expensive lamp.
Yeah. So this is there for a while, and there was really no hints as to what it could be until December 29th, where they revealed it, and I'm going to show you the video in a Watch Together room.
They did this in December? It wasn't even a Halloween thing?
Yeah, it was December 29th. It's right after Christmas.
Oh my god. Well, okay, I get opening up a box after in Christmas. I get that part, but like, ugh, whatever.
So let me know when you're in the Watch Together room.
I am attempting to get in there. There we go. Come on.
Okay, I'm gonna hit play on this.
I'm in. Go for it. Oh, conveniently moving over to the box. Okay. Yeah, and then the chainsaw sounds from inside. Jeez. He's just making himself an exit. I love just trying to carve a door.
It's like struggling.
It's such a solid visual, though. If it was just the four clean lines, that'd be really strong. Oh, you can't just say it might be Leatherface. Oh, we're just fucking leaving.
And I do like that Mick Foley is immediately friends with the Leatherface character.
Yeah. Somehow that just feels right for Mick Foley.
He even did, like, the Leatherface, like, spin around where he, like, lifts it above his head and, like, spins around.
Oh, he did! Oh my god, you're right! Are they supposed to just spit out sparks constantly?
That's a thing Leatherface's chainsaw does a lot. Gotcha. I don't believe actual chainsaws are supposed to do that. You should probably get a new one if that happens.
Yeah. I don't think this is a very safe tool to use.
So, you know, not copyright infringement yet. definitely not akin to the Leatherface mask because it is just pantyhose on his head.
Yeah.
So there are two explanations that I have heard for why they did this.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with the most recent one, but these two explanations are from people who don't like each other.
Fun. Okay.
For instance, so the two people who gave explanations are Vince Russo, infamous for some of like the worst of WCW and WWE, and Jim Cornette, who was a promoter for a very long time, to give context about how much they don't like each other. So when Jim Cornette mentions Vince Russo on the on his podcast, he doesn't say Vince Russo. He just says shit stain and does not elaborate further.
Wow.
Vince Russo's explanation is more recent. It's from this year and it's a little bit more complete. And Jim Cornette's is a little like bare bones. So even though Vince Russo has a history of kind of lying, I think his is a little bit more believable in this case, because it also doubles as a Vince McMahon story.
Oh, see, that I thought this smelled like Vince.
So Jim Cornette wanted Terry Funk to be the one in the box, because he'd worked with Terry before, but Vince didn't want Terry Funk in the box, because he didn't want to be seen as, like, using an older wrestler as much, even though that's all he does now. He didn't think anyone care about him. So
god,
but Cornette would kept pushing it, and Vince relented and said, quote, okay, we'll put Terry Funk in and we'll put him in the box, call him Chainsaw Charlie so he can chainsaw himself out of the box.
That's why he kept saying Chainsaw Charlie, like, before the character had appeared. He's like, it could be Leatherface in the box, it could even be Chainsaw Charlie. Like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah,
you don't get to...
There's no setup for... That's just how that character was named. So the whole gimmick wasn't even a reflection of anything. If this story is true, it would have been Vince being pissed off Jim Cornette kept pushing the same wrestler. The Jim Cornette's explanation was that he was told it was Terry Funk's idea. And that Terry Funk wanted to do it. And that Jim was also told that everyone on WWE production was telling him that no one would know it was Terry Funk. even though he's just wearing pantyhose on his head. And if you can see it up close of his face, it's fairly obvious. And according to Jim, after the cameras cut, the crowd realized it and started chanting Terry. They knew who it was.
Oh my god, that's good.
Jeez. Yeah, so it probably didn't work out the way anyone wanted, regardless of which story is true.
Was he supposed to be like a new permanent wrestler that was just secretly played by an older wrestler? Like, was there a plan?
Doesn't seem like it, based on where he goes in this.
Okay.
My guess is that they wanted to give Terry, because Terry Funk is just a dude who's willing to beat the shit out of people and his own body to win a match. My guess is that they wanted kind of a personality to rival Cactus Jack or Mankind.
That makes sense. And it makes sense that they would juxtapose him against Mick Foley in that case too.
Yeah. So okay, this character remained like 3 months on screen.
All right.
And was mainly teamed up with Mick Foley during this time, while Mick Foley was Cactus Jack. During that time, they did go to WrestleMania and win the tag team titles together.
Good for them.
In a dumpster match.
Of course.
Which, if you remember, it's like a casket match, but you throw your opponent in a dumpster.
Yeah. The dumpster match. We've all seen it.
They then lost the titles the following night. And then Funk just began wrestling as himself April 13th.
Okay. See, honestly, a couple months is longer than I was expecting him to last. I thought this was going to be done, just abandoned after a couple weeks.
Yeah, they kept on it for quite some time. The weird thing is that this, even though it's a very short-lived gimmick, this character was DLC for WWE 2013. while Terry Funk himself was not.
Oh my god.
So, this is the least of the copyright infringement we're at.
I would feel so insulted.
Yeah. So, the next wrestler we're going to talk about is named Jason the Terrible. I'm going to share an image of him with you.
Gosh, I wonder who he could be based on. Huh. Hmm.
So,
Is he the one on the left in the mask?
Yes.
Okay.
The one on the right is Owen Hart.
Okay.
So really ramped up in copyright infringement.
Jeez, yeah.
So Jason the Terrible was basically the main antagonist of Stampede Wrestling, which was owned by Stu Hart, who is a member of the Hart family, and was usually feuding against Owen Hart, who was the top babyface of that company. So his outfit usually consisted of the hockey mask, white boiler room suit. In that image, he's holding an axe, and occasionally he'd also have a chainsaw.
Okay.
This gimmick did survive outside of Stampede, because this wrestler did go to multiple different promotions with this gimmick, which we will get into when we talk about some of the other copyright infringement wrestlers. I do want to share a brief aside where where I looked at his career on Wikipedia, and it included this sentence as the last line. Jason the Terrible did do a show for Hart Legacy Wrestling in Calgary, Alberta, but he and other wrestlers were not paid.
They just weren't paid. Don't worry about it.
But it's funny that Wikipedia decided that that was the notable thing to include about their last match.
Yeah, it's really good. So, wait a minute. This is the lower end of the copyright infringing?
Yes.
Jeez. What's the higher end? Do they just start stealing the Warwick Davis leprechaun prosthetics?
Yeah, you'll...
Oh, no.
You'll see.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
So the next one is named Dr. Hannibal.
Oh, God. Fuck off. Mind, okay.
We're still in dubious levels of copyright infringement.
Oh, come on.
And this one is hard to find documentation on, because if you just search Dr. Hannibal the Wrestler, you just find him under his real name, the few times he wrestled for WWE under his real name, Steve Gillespie. So, therefore, many images of him are just, of just the Dr. Hannibal persona are not there, so I had to actually dig through recordings of old wrestling videos from those indie feds. And it's just a boiler room suit and some eye makeup. Just what it is.
Those are really popular slasher character wrestling costumes. Was the character a doctor, or was the wrestler a doctor? Like in real life, like the guy who invented the mandible claw.
In real life.
Okay. Because I was like, that's two doctors I've heard of who are wrestlers and have like murder in their in their story somewhere.
God. Yeah. So now we're going to move to a certain wrestling promotion called from Japan called Wrestling International New Generations. And because we're moving to international shows, this is where copyright laws get a little bit more difficult. still going to do this from lightest to heaviest.
Okay.
First one I want to tell you about is called the Crypt Keeper.
Okay.
Thing about him, he looks nothing like the fictional Crypt Keeper. He has a skull mask, but he's wearing a baseball uniform.
Why is he wearing a
baseball uniform? I don't know.
Okay, all right. That's fair. I just wondered if there might be an explanation.
There's not.
Kate.
So that's our light end. This next one is a little harder to brush away. His name is the Boogeyman, and it's not the WWE Boogeyman. That's a different character.
Yeah.
But so when I'm gonna show you what he looks like.
This is gonna be a. I'm predicting this is going to be a Freddy Krueger. Oh, no.
This is just Michael Myers.
It's just Michael Myers. It's literally just him.
Now, theoretically, you can still call this dubious because they didn't call him Michael Myers. But Michael Myers does get referred to as the Boogeyman in some of his movies.
Okay, see, that I didn't know, but that connects a dot. Okay.
And so he was played by the late wrestler, Eddie Gilbert. And I'm going to get you to the next one. This next wrestler's name was Nightmare Freddy.
Oh, my God. Come on. That's just the fucking Sharpam Joe action figure. That's not even... They're not even pretending.
Yep. So he has a sweater, burnt face, glove. This is what he was.
I can't... I don't have, you know, the Sharpam Joe thing, right?
Yeah, like, I'm not, Sharpam that's okay. Joe, that's the toy that I want more than anything.
Yeah, no, it'd be so cool to have. There's like, and there's like stickers and shirts and stuff too. I'm just like, that series of words by themselves sounds like I'm having a stroke. So I was just like, I need to make sure that that reference isn't lost. Oh my God.
So yeah, this is just Freddy Krueger. Down to everything. He first shows up in Memphis Wrestling, but he debuts as a good guy and gets a major, like, pop. Because everyone likes Freddy at this time.
God, okay.
So, like, cultural perception-wise, that makes a lot of sense. But knowing that, like, what Freddy's moral alignment is on the movies, which I know you might have a little bit of a gray image of because you haven't partook deep in these...
I've seen Freddy vs. Jason, and I get through, like, pop culture osmosis. He's the he's the quippy, jokey nightmare man who got burned alive because he may or may not have done some bad stuff to kids. I know the basics.
Yeah, I would argue he's. Yeah. If you were to list like most of like the five big slashers, I would probably rank him as the evilest one.
That's fair.
Because it's clear that he just knows what he does and he enjoys it. So
he's very much having fun.
So he then took the gimmick to Japan, and as of August 14th, 2021, he's still wrestling as what? Nightmare Freddy.
He was wrestling on my birthday?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And this wrestler was portrayed by Doug Gilbert, who is the brother of Eddie Gilbert, who played the Boogeyman.
Oh, hey. It's a cinematic universe.
Next is Lord Humongous. And this is really hero in technicality. So as Jason the Terrible was to Owen Hart, Lord Humongous was to Jerry Lawler in Memphis. Lord Humongous's name, as I'm sure you're familiar with, is lifted wholesale from Mad Max 2.
I do know that. I don't know how I know that, but I know that.
So also a character that wears a hockey mask. You can argue this level of copyright infringement is dubious, because they mixed a lot of Jason into the personality as well. This is another gimmick that's allegedly ongoing, but this is also a gimmick that's passed through a lot of wrestlers, and there's a total of 11 documented wrestlers who have been Lord Humongous.
God, okay.
With large amounts of overlap. So, most recent documentation I can find is a 2019 match with no footage of it, and the source on Wikipedia is just East Alabama News with no article attached. So, you know, that's a cool way to go about it. So, next, we're getting to our deepest level of copyright infringement now.
Oh, boy.
Leatherface.
Oh boy, okay.
We're coming full circle. It's not even an adjective like with Nightmare Freddy, where you don't say, oh, it's not Freddy Krueger, it's Nightmare Freddy. So it's just Leatherface, played by a couple different wrestlers, but wrestler Mike Kirchner is the one that's most often cited to be him. A different non-wrestling Leatherface showed up at a USWA show and just made a ruckus. He just ran around with his chainsaw for a bit. And then it rolled into the interview of someone else who was just the person that, like, brought him there.
Oh my god.
And, like, the person they're interviewing isn't even, like, fucked up. He's just like, yeah, I brought him here.
Yeah. No, I was his ride. He just, you know, he didn't have, like, a car or anything, so I drove him.
Like, the most, like, Carl Denham explanation of Leatherface showing up somewhere. And so, like, most of his appearances are in the 90s, like a lot of these, because that's when Slasher was at its peak. But there's an allegation of him being at a show in 2018 in Japan. But again, there's no footage of it. There's just a promo sheet with not even a picture of the wrestler Leatherface. It's a photo from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Oh my god. And
they've put him on the program. And
that's pretty conclusive evidence that he was there, so I mean, like, I buy that.
The real Leatherface.
God.
I'm gonna show you a promo this Leatherface did, because they did have him cut promos.
Of course they did. Okay. Oh, wow.
Why is it? Oh, it's just not playing. There we go.
That face isn't great. He didn't even tuck the mask into the front of his shirt.
And that was the whole promo.
I can see why they recorded one of those. Doesn't Leatherface's mask, isn't it like tucked into his like clothes, like so it looks decent somewhat? Like, why is it like hanging off over his apron?
Yeah, it's in the movies, it's normally kind of like deep in there. Because,
yeah,
you know, Leatherface weirdly likes to look presentable in some way.
He's got to have control over something in his life, and I think control over his appearance is an important way for him to achieve that.
Yeah. So, all of these wrestlers fought each other, usually in some way. Most of them did. Because, of course, if you have Freddy, Jason, Michael, and Leatherface, yeah, you're going to want them to fight.
You kind of have to, yeah.
In fact, there was a Freddy versus Jason match in 1992, which was a full year before their actual fight was teased in Jason Goes to Hell. So, Freddy versus Jason's actual development started at least somewhere between 1987 and 1988.
Yeah.
But Jason and Freddy were owned by different companies then, and talks went through about that. Which is why Jason fights a psychic girl in part 7.
Okay, that tracks.
So, I'm gonna show you this match just so you can get, like, kind of, like, where this was at. We don't have to watch this whole thing. I'm probably gonna skip through it, because it's not great. it's not a great match. did they delete it again? They deleted it again.
Browser extension required. Why did Watch Together decide I need a browser extension?
Because first I click... Yep. Yeah, no. this isn't going to work. They delete these fairly often, and then they get re-uploaded equally as often. it's literally most of the fight is in the audience.
Oh god, that's always fun.
They're, like, the crowd... Because it's not a WWE crowd, it's like... Like, really, just, like, a building hall. Like, it's just so much space. Like, because everyone just, like, separates. I don't know if we have an upload of the recording of that when I showed you when Scott Steiner went to India and just cleared out the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that.
God. That's from our... Is it gonna be a lost episode? Is that from our lost episode?
It's gonna be a lost episode, and I might release just snippets of it at random points.
I think that's a good idea, just like as a threat.
So, there are plenty of other matches, like Jason fighting Michael and another wrestler named Gravedigger, who I can only assume is named after the monster truck.
Oh god, that's what that made me think of. I was like, why is that name ring a bell?
And there's a Freddy versus Leatherface match where the crowd is firmly behind Leatherface, which is the correct answer.
yes, absolutely it is.
So before we move on to this next Halloween topic, that I had as meta layers too, so I'm very excited to discuss it.
It's always fun.
Do you have any thoughts about this level of copyright infringement done by wrestling?
I'm impressed with the audacity, which is my normal reaction to the audacious things I'm told about in this podcast, I think. I'm generally like, yeah, I like that you were able to get away with doing something this nonsensical. I don't know, it's really funny. Like, is there ever a plan for, like, what do we do if someone sues us? Do they just not use the character and pretend it never happened? Like, I can't imagine being in Vince's office if he's like, we gotta make Leatherface and Chucky fight, and then you have to, like, talk through, like, no, Vince, we can't do that because New Line Cinema will sue us if we do. Like, what... Are there ever contingency plans for...
So it's funny, because Nightmare Freddy, Doug Gilbert, did go to a televised show, and there was some promotion leading up to it, where he had to, like, won a match in the indie show to get into the Battle Royal as Nightmare Freddy. But when he went to the TV one, it was like he had to wrestle under his real name.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, he had to. He won the battle royal, but he had the gimmick of Nightmare Freddy, but he was under his own name. So he was like, it was Doug Gilbert dressed as Freddy Krueger. Which
I don't know why that's so funny to me.
It's just, I would like, I'm imagining you're imagining this with someone with no context looking at it. Mm-hmm. Just like someone who doesn't know that he's normally a character named Nightmare Freddy. Just being like, yeah, some dude dressed as Freddy Krueger won the battle royale.
Yeah, but he had like a normal dude name and it was really weird. I don't know what they were going for with that. He's just, I guess he was just in a costume.
Yeah, and no shade to Mr. Doug Gilbert, because I like his work with this.
Yeah.
But the name Doug Gilbert with the Freddy Krueger outfit, I can't imagine something less threatening.
Yeah, that's, it's not a great slasher name. It's a decent serial killer name. But it's not slasher villainy, or at least not what I would think of with that.
Yeah, it's like, I can't imagine them doing, like, this backstory of, like, well, he fell down a well, and he went crazy and started eating his own skin. But what's his name? Doug?
Doug Gilbert. Only thing Doug had to eat in the well was live animals he killed with his own chainsaw. God.
We just created a great running joke character.
We did. He's the next Death Shitter.
I can't wait for Death Shitter versus Doug. It's
Doug
exclusively in theaters.
That's our shirt. That's our Lord of the Rings shirt, is the Death Shitter versus Doug. It's like a fake movie poster.
I need to get someone to draw it like the Freddy versus Jason poster.
Oh my god, yes!
So this next thing,
okay,
you're going to be very excited about it.
I love things I'm excited about.
So this is from WCW, and there is this ongoing mystery for weeks where there was just laughter heard throughout the arena. And people were like, what's that? What is that? So at the same time, Rick and Scott Steiner are in a feud, and it culminated in the video I'm about to play in the
room. Okay. Let me follow the link back in there. I fell back out of it when I was, trying to figure out what was going on with the last video. Okay, I'm in. Ooh, oh, there it is. I knew it. There's my boy. Here comes the boy. Oh, this is the, what movie did he start having this face after?
Bride.
This is before Seed of Chucky.
Yeah, it's Bride, the first time.
Yeah, it's Bride. I thought it was Bride. Okay.
What do you think of that, before I get into, like, the meta layers of this?
There's a lot to love here, quite frankly. I don't know. Like, I feel like just because it's the franchise I know the most about from, like, just the genre... I have such a soft spot and such a fondness for the Child's Play movies. And I really like that they did this. It's really kind of, like, cynically commercial that he's just like, if you really want to see what I can do, you gotta go see my movie! And he even, like, weaves the tagline of his movie into his dialogue and stuff. Like, that's a little... it's a little crass. It's a little... You know, it's very consumerism-y, which is, like, that's what you get. That's capitalism. That's how it works. But, like, I don't know. This would have worked on me so well if I were watching this in real time back in the day. This would have been my, oh, holy shit, there's a new Chucky movie? Jennifer Tilly's in it? And I would have been there day one because Chucky was on WCW and I just lost my mind over it. I don't know. I don't really have a lot of complaints. I like that this happened. There was my boy. He was right there.
I like it a lot too, especially the meta layers of this. Because of the way this is promoted, so it's to promote Bride of Chucky. But this gives apart the implication that Chucky's real, but he's an actor.
Yes, and I'm such a big fan of that, like that conceit for characters like that,
which makes. I definitely enjoy that, especially because since WCW is in definitively in canon with WWE, that means if we're to take this the way it's presented to us and not think mm-hmm. about it any deeper, that means Chucky and the Muppets.
Yes, I was just gonna say. I was gonna go there if you weren't gonna go there.
So that's like what I was, because it makes sense. They're both yeah. like living like puppet doll things.
Yeah.
what? But I thought about this a little harder because Bride has a small moment where it canonizes the Chucky movies to a bunch of other slasher franchises.
Yeah.
Where it puts itself in canon with that. So it's like, oh, those are entirely fictional now.
I can't remember which other ones it connects itself to, but I remember that happening.
Yeah, it's Halloween and Nightmare on Elm Street explicitly, and some people argue mm-hmm. Friday the 13th and Texas Chainsaw, even though it's clearly not Jason's mask. It's just a hockey mask. And it's a chainsaw, which doesn't mean much to me. I get what it's referencing. It doesn't canonize it the same way Freddy's glove and Michael's mask does.
Yeah.
So, but I thought about it a little harder. I thought about how this works against something like Seed of Chucky, where it identifies Jennifer Tilly as existing in-universe and is a meta story about a film being made about Chucky, meaning that this could be still part of the regular Child's Play universe, and there's just meta stuff on top of it where there is the film series based off of Chucky within Chucky, and that's what this is actually promoting.
God, I love this.
The funniest part about that, that made me rewrite a portion of this script, is that that theory was confirmed last week.
What?
So, this happened in the middle of Raw.
Oh my God.
So Chucky likes Asuka also.
I mean, he's got good taste. We've established this. Oh God, Chucky and I have the same taste in women.
Jennifer,
I don't know how I feel. Asuka. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
God, and he did like Alexa Bliss also.
I hate this.
So that ad kind of confirms my secondary theory. Is that this took place inside the universe about the meta movies that exist inside the Child's Play universe.
Oh my God. You know, people complain that Kingdom Hearts has a lot of spin-offs, but I feel like if you were trying to gather up all of the wrestling universe material that you could find, it would take a lot more time.
And because of this, I was sent on a rabbit hole.
Ooh, good. Okay.
Because I have an Excel document and 10 attempts to try to draw it out as like a flowchart. Oh, but it's too well connected to actually like separate do it like that. It's like if you tried to like graph something like comic books, where like Marvel stuff, where it's clearly all in the same universe, and you're trying to document how each character met each character, and like the first time they interacted, and that proves they're in the same universe. But it's so much and so often, and everyone has seen everyone once, you can't do it without drawing over lines you've already drawn, which makes it impossible to read.
It's like trying to chart everyone who's met Spider-Man when he's met everyone for the first time 5 times.
Yeah. So just because of that scene in Bride of Chucky, which we're going to assume happened legitimately, and then there was a movie made off of it that this Chucky is here to promote. So Freddy and Michael are canon to that. Freddy is canon to Jason. both Freddy and Jason are canon to Evil Dead. Jason is canon to Leatherface, who's also canon to Sharknado, which I will not explain further, but it...
No, that's... I think I remember that from Sharknado.
And then Jason is canon to Dexter.
God, okay.
Evil Dead's canon to War of the Worlds, Reanimator. And Marvel.
How War of the Worlds?
There was a comic called Evil Dead 2, Revenge of the Martians.
Oh no, okay.
I'm not going to get super off topic because we might do a whole podcast about horror stuff. but no there's, spoilers. I'm going to just summarize. There are two series of Evil Dead comics that are canon to each other, but will never cross over because they're at different companies.
Okay.
There's the Army of Darkness comics that follows our Ashley J. Williams, who was in Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness, and then Ash versus Evil Dead. Follows him, assumably between Army of Darkness and Ash versus Evil Dead, getting into funny shits, crossing over with other people, meeting Elvis, etc., etc.
Yeah.
Evil Dead 2 comics follows an Ash that was regenerated out of the out of our Ash's severed hand.
Excuse me. That's a fucking Doctor Who plot point. No.
So.
What the fuck? What?
So, to summarize of just that. So, in Evil Dead 2, Ash's hand gets possessed by a demon. Mm-hmm. And he has to cut it off. But because the demon's in the hand is still sentient and crawls around.
Okay.
At the end of Evil Dead 2, the reason Ash gets sucked back to medieval Europe is that he was working with Annie, who's the daughter of Professor Raymond Nobe, who was the one who translated the Evil Book of the Dead. And she could read it because she worked with him on it. She gets knocked out, so Ash gets sucked back in time. In the Evil Dead 2 comics, Annie wakes up in the hospital with the hand on her, and she uses the book to reconstitute Ash, probably assuming Ash died.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So now Ash, with both his hands, he's a two-handed boy instead of a one-handed boy.
Good for him.
Now just gets into funny shenanigans. Like if you type Evil Dead 2, Revenge of, you get, because they're all one-shot comics in that... So there's Evil Dead 2, Revenge of Dracula, Evil Dead 2, ooh, Revenge of the Martians, Evil Dead 2, Revenge of Jack the Ripper.
Okay, alright, I'm seeing these.
Evil Dead 2, Revenge of Hitler, where Ash punches out a zombie Hitler.
As he should.
So War of the Worlds is canon to the world of WWE. Okay.
Huh.
So this has complicated the implications of our copyright infringement wrestlers.
Yeah, oh god, you're right.
So this is now no longer, oh, we copied a movie. This is we copied the gimmick of a real life serial killer.
Yeah, no, this is like a real dude that people saw in the news who actually killed people and were dressing like him for wrestling promotion purposes.
Or you can read it another way, that the wrestler, that these killers are just showing up to wrestling and abiding by the rules as much as they are willing to.
And they just won't get arrested. They know they can come and wrestle and leave and they won't get stopped by anyone.
Well, the WWE arena is akin to Sweden.
No, absolutely. It's neutral territory. It's like when you go 12 miles away from land on the ocean and there's no laws anymore.
Yeah, there's enough wrestling like matches where the end condition is kill your opponent. Where it's like the police would arrest you, but in this case, no.
I'm just imagining what's her face from Halloween is like watching TV and she sees, I don't know which slasher she deals with. I think it's Michael Myers. She just sees Michael Myers on Raw one night and she just has to like cope with the like, fact that he's still at large and he's wrestling. Yeah, she has a panic attack because she thought he knew where he was. She thought he was in jail, but he's actually wrestling somewhere like three states away from her.
And he's showing no interest in coming to see her.
Just doesn't care about murdering people at all. He's very busy with his wrestling.
So I just want to ask you your thoughts on the possibilities that have just been opened.
This opens up so many avenues to follow, and I don't know if I can handle all of them. Because, like, I feel like what I want to know is, like, does in this hypothetical scenario, like, does that mean you have to talk to the murderer about obtaining likeness rights if you don't have the actual murderer come on to wrestling and do his thing? Like, do you have to negotiate with Vince McMahon and Chucky, like, how long is this promo gonna be? What dialogue is it gonna be? What's he gonna say? Like, there's so many angles to approach this from.
I do like the idea of a producer telling Chucky he can't say don't fuck with the Chuck.
Yes!
Like when he's clearly like, don't! And then he pauses. Mess!
Yeah. Yeah. Or shut the hell up as opposed to literally anything else he would normally say.
Yeah.
You can't say the F word, Chucky. I'm sorry. You can't say fuck on live TV.
This it's such
an FCC fine.
That's why they don't give Freddy any promos, because he'd be like, good luck, assholes.
And, like, he wouldn't stop swearing and like the pre-taping stuff.
But this also, from the previous connection we made, this means all slasher films, War of the Worlds, Sharknado, etc., etc., everything I like linked, the Muppets are happening at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is so appealing.
That also means that, like, every time the Muppets parody the slasher movie or reference something, the Muppet writers are also, well, no, the Muppet characters who are writing their own material in canon are like, oh no, we should parody that time that those people died in their sleep and they thought some dead janitor did it. Like,
God, you made like a really deep cut reference to another slasher movie without realizing it.
What did I do?
You referenced another slasher movie where they have the janitor in a Freddy Krueger sweater.
Oh my God. What? Oh, God.
And Muppets crosses over with stuff, right?
Like, yeah, Muppets does. Common. Yeah, no, they show up in a lot of places, and you're always supposed to... It's always very dubiously canon, because every actor that acts alongside the Muppets always treats them as an actual physical living person that they are actually actively conversing with. And so, if the Muppets ever show up anywhere, it's not a puppeteer is playing the Muppets. It's literally always Kermit is really here and you are really talking to Kermit. So anytime they've crossed over with anything, it's with the belief that they're real. Like Beaker and Seamus hanging out it's literal real Beaker, and you just have to accept that.
And they're related.
Yeah, and they're related, that they're sibling, they're cousins, I believe.
Yeah.
They're not siblings.
That has input something else into my brain. So Seamus is cousins with Beaker. And Chucky, from that ad we just watched, is clearly a fan of Seamus.
Yes! Does Chucky know Beaker? What would Chucky even think of Beaker?
Oh my, like they broke up? Does Chucky think of Beaker anymore?
I don't know!
Do you think Beaker looks out his window wondering if Chucky thinks what, of him?
Wondering what could have been. I mean, that sets what I was thinking was Chucky is probably watching like the Beaker and Bunsen segments where like Beaker's getting blown up or set on fire and stuff, and he's like, that's just an abusive relationship. No, Tiffany's the one that would point out that that's kind of an abusive dynamic to be in. And she's always kind of hoping that Beaker's going to leave Bunsen, and Chucky just doesn't see it. He's just like, no, they're fine. They're getting along really well. What are you talking about? They're having fun.
Oh, God.
God.
We've opened so many, like, exciting avenues to view wrestling through.
It's like we found a row of Pandora's boxes and just ran past them, flipping them all open and just leaving.
I don't know where we were at.
I also don't know where we were at.
Where are we going to do this cut? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, God. Hey, well, because we...
For context for our listeners, we went on a very long tangent about...
And it was my fault entirely. I'm so sorry.
No, I mean, it's mine, too. I indulge in it. I'm fully aware when we go on tangents because
it takes two to
them.
Tangent. Yeah. I do, too. Like, I have that... It's like the... It's like that reaction image of SpongeBob about to be crushed by that weight where he's in the middle of saying, I want to be crushed by a 50-pound weight, and then he yells, and live, just as the weight's about to land on him.
Yeah.
I always feel like the looming prospect of getting back on topic is hovering over my head waiting to crush me, because I'm just like, oh God, I'm so far off topic, what have I done?
It's not your fault, because I'm like so excited to talk about things.
I just like talking to you.
I like talking to you too. And we just have a lot of, like, the same interests.
Mm-hmm. We have good shit to say, and we talk about fun things, and that's why this works.
But I think we covered everything on the wrestling stuff, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So everyone have a fantastic rest of your day, and see y'all in the next one. I don't know what we're doing next episode.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. And happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah.